just see how we go tonight.
Good evening, everybody. What a beautiful day the Lord has given us again. And he's also helping us to get used to the weather. And we started to enjoy the place. I want to begin by saying, we'll forever remain grateful to our beloved, our loving God for making it possible for us to be networked with your beloved pastor, whom I fondly call the Very Reverend. Because, but not for that meeting that we met some years ago, I don't think that we'll be here sharing with you in the ministry in this place. So we'll continue to thank God for him and continue to appreciate the local church, Battle Baptist Church, for all your big heart, not just ministering in this city, Battle, but reaching out to other places in the world as the Lord gave you the vision. And your ministry has touched us in Nigeria. We will forever remain grateful to you. And every time we pray in our church in Nigeria, the national leaders of my church, they know very well about Battle Baptist Church. So they are also praying that the Lord will bless you for the big heart you are having toward the mission which God has called us together to carry out. I'd like my wife to lead us in prayer at this time.
Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor for being with us from morning till today. We are asking that your divine presence will be with us. Help your servants that they might speak as your oracle. We know that this is a crucial subject, but with your grace upon him, your word will fall on the foreground. Let your word have a free course in our hearts. I ask in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Well, when we talk about the ministry of the church and the issue of deliverance, I don't want us to be carried away and begin to think of something very spectacular, something very unusual. It is the normal ministry that God has called the church to get involved into. It is the normal ministry. The ministry of the church is power encounter ministry. And that is what I'm talking about. The ministry of the church is power encounter ministry. It is not just based on the New Testament. Even from the Old Testament, the Bible makes it clear that the work of God is an encounter against the powers of darkness. And I don't know the reason why people find it difficult to believe that there is a spiritual world, because that's where we have to begin with. There is a spiritual world. And the line between the physical and the spiritual is as tiny as one hair stand. The line between the physical and the spiritual. Right from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And two, the Bible did reveal that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But verse 2 said, and the earth was without form, no shape, and darkness filled the whole earth. And one begin to wonder, how is it that God created something that is shapeless and no form? You cannot describe how the earth actually looked like. But darkness covered everywhere. Well, my teacher in the Bible college taught me that Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, there is a wide gap between verse 1 and 2. And that when God created the heavens and the earth, something happened. And that thing that happened, he told us, it is the rebellion of Satan, which the Bible later revealed that there was a war in heaven. And the angels of God fought against Satan and his angelic forces. And they were cast down to this earth. And so God, they kind of tumble everything that they had made before. So, when God was telling Moses to go to Egypt, he was actually letting Moses know that he was going to confront powers. And he equipped him for that battle. We all read in the scripture, whatever God asked Moses to do, for example, the throwing down of his rod in the house of Pharaoh, which became a snake or a serpent. Pharaoh just beckoned to his magician. They all came out and said, teach this Hebrew man a lesson. And so they all came with their own staff, bam, 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 on the ground, and there was snake all over the place. Who brought those, who produced the snakes? The answer is that God is the one who turned the rod of Moses to become snake. And the answer to the one of the magicians, Satan was the one who turned the rod of the Egyptian magician to become snake. So we are living in a both physical and spiritual world. We should bear that in mind. Another thing I would like to mention about spiritual world, Elijah was staying in a place that he was being wanted by the Syrian government because they felt that he was leaking their war plans to the king of Israel. And so Elisha became a wanted man. So the whole army of Syria was like marshaled out to look for one man. And they traced Elisha to one village. And so they besieged that village, wanting to capture one man. Elisha was not aware of what was happening. Early in the morning, his servant woke up going somewhere. He ran into the siege of the Syrian army. He ran back in shock and came and told Elisha, "We are finished. We are dead people. Look, look, look. The armies of the Syrians have surrounded all over the place." Elisha did not want to waste time to begin to tell him, you know, that we are more than secured. We are more protected to be afraid. He only laid his hand on his servant and said, "Dear Lord, open his eyes so that he will know that there is another world." And so God opened the eyes of Elisha's servant, and he saw chariots of fire and the angels of God that were running over the place. So while they were living and serving God in the physical, there was a spiritual realm. I think I have to stop there and begin by saying that, who are we to follow? Who are we to believe as children of God? Who should be our mentor? Who should tell us the right thing that God wants us to know? I think the only person that can tell us the right thing and will follow him is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Reverend, Reverend Dennis, has already given us a very good background. Jesus declared and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, For he has anointed me for the ministry. And he now started enumerating what the ministry involves. And from the mouth of the Savior himself, he was telling us that the ministry involves power encounter. Can we all say power encounter? Can we say it one more time? Power encounter. That is what is involved. So we must believe what Jesus believes. If you don't believe what Jesus believes, then something is wrong with you. Our Lord and Savior, he believes that there is spiritual forces. They believe that there is demonic forces. There is a personality called Satan who was not Satan before, but one of God's archangels. You know, sometimes people make the mistake to draw Satan as a black person with seven horns and one long tail and big eyes and looking very fearful. And that is one of the reasons why Satan is doing a lot of havoc and people don't really get to know that it is Satan. Because they don't have a proper mindset about who he is. He's not looking so dreadful, so, you know, terrifying. The scripture tells us that he has manifested himself as an angel of light. You know, so people don't really know him very well. So we must believe what Jesus believed. We must live in the same way that he lived. We must preach the same thing that he preached and teach the same things that he taught. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the Lord makes it clear when he said to the church, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. Can we say better? Amen? Amen. Amen. You see, Jesus said all power. Why was he talking about all power? He was talking about it because he was sending the church out for ministry, out for church planting, out for the conversion of the souls of men and women, young people and children, out to go to the nations of the earth. He knew that they were going to be confronted by forces of darkness. But Jesus announced to the church and said, all power, both the one of God and the one that Satan tend to be exercising, they are all his. And so you are saved, you have nothing to fear. Praise the Lord. So we need to believe what Jesus believed, that there is a demon spirit. There are evil spirits. He believed that. He taught that. He cast them out. And if he did that and has commissioned us as a church to go for world evangelism, we must experience the same thing he experienced. We must believe the same way he believed. We must look out for the same thing that Jesus saw. You know, he said, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. So the issue of Satan or the issue of evil spirit or demonic power, whatever language or term you want to use, it should not be something that anybody begin to doubt. If anybody is doubting it and say, oh, I don't believe in it, you are only saying that you don't believe the scriptures. And the Bible said that all scriptures are written by the inspiration of God. If you say you don't believe there are demon spirits, it means that you don't believe Jesus. And if you don't believe Jesus, then without the kind of Christian that you are, he commanded us that we should teach every member in the church, every church, in every church age, we should teach them the same thing he taught the early apostles, so that when we are going out for ministry, we should not be taken by surprise when we face the challenges of the enemy. So, it is important that we know this. I want to just take up the scriptures. Number one case, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I wanted to read it together. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Okay, I will read you read. And it came to pass, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. Verse 2, everybody please. No, like I said, if you don't believe unclean spirit, if you don't believe demons, you don't believe the scriptures. The Bible is very clear here that a man came out from the burying ground, from the cemetery, a man with an unclean spirit. That's what the scripture says. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Verse 4, everybody. Which, okay, let's look at that one. Here revealed to us some of the activities that we can see that a man who has an unclean spirit will manifest. You see, this man left the normal dwelling of normal human beings and decided to go and live in the cemetery. You see, not only that, this man possessed power beyond the natural power that he was expected to have. Sometimes they bind him with chain, but under the power of demonic force, he will break the chains in pieces. He will cut them asunder. And nobody could tame him. So he began to have behavior that is not normal. So one of the manifestation of demonic presence or evil spirit is that people begin to have behavior that are abnormal. Things that the natural, sensible man cannot do. You begin to behave. And always, night and day, he was in the mountain and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Six, everybody.
When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him.
And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Eight.
And what he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit."
And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Let me pause here. It means that sometimes these demons can speak. They can speak. They can speak English. They can speak Hausa. They can speak Igbo. They can speak Hebrew, Latin, whatever. They can speak. They also can speak other strange language that we cannot even understand. And he besought him much that he will not send them away out of the country. Verse 11, everybody. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." 13.
And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran wildly down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea.
There had been a debate. Why did Jesus do that? Why did he allow the demon spirit to enter into these pigs? Was he out to ruin the economy of these people? You know, as you go to dig into it, you discover that God in the Old Testament had forbid Israel from eating pigs. But because of their having rejected God and falling away, they started doing whatever thing they feel like, entering into any source of business. But then, that is not the point. Jesus' concern was not where the demons were going to go. His concern was to see this man created in the image of God, this one of the children of Abraham, bound by the devil for this many years. Jesus' concern was to see him set free. And he allowed the demons to come out and enter into the pigs. 14, everybody.
So those who fed the swine fled, and then they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened.
And they came to Jesus and saw him that was possessed with devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Praise God. When Jesus dealt with the demon spirit that was tormenting this man, that was making him to behave abnormal, when Jesus dealt with the demon spirit, and let me draw attention again, you know, a legion is about 1,000, which means that 1,000 demons can enter into one man. And this is the reason why Jesus is angry. He never created man to be tormented by evil spirit. He wants man to bring him glory and honor. 1 Peter tells us that we must show forth the praises of him who has saved us and called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, Jesus pinpointed that the case of the man was the case of a demon spirit, an evil spirit possessing a man made in the image of God. It is still happening in our world today. It's happening here in battle. It's happening in Nigeria. It's happening wherever men are found. Demon spirits. Case number 2, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke Gospel chapter 4, verses 33, we pick it up from verse 33. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice. You see again, the scripture is telling us that there was a man there who has a spirit of what? Of an unclean devil or demon. And he cried out a loud voice. 34, everybody.
Saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? If you come to destroy us, I know who you are, the Holy One of God."
And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. 36.
Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out."
And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. 38. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Let's hold it there. Now, I want to pause to say that every case is not a demonic case. Every case is not a demonic case. And here we see the two examples.
The first one we read, the Bible said it was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out as Jesus was teaching in the temple. He cried out violently. And Jesus rebuked the demon spirit. And the demon, before coming out, threw the man to the ground. But the man was not hurt. He was healed. He was set free. But now Jesus went to the house of Peter. And the mother-in-law was sick of fever. The Bible never said that it was a demon. Are you following me? So there could be, somebody can have fever that is not caused by demon. Maybe because of overlabor. Maybe you never have time to rest. Maybe because of what you have eaten or some other, you know, virus that have attacked you and you begin to have fever. It is not connected with demon at all. So every case is not a demon case. Whatever it is, whether it is non-demon case or a demon case, the scripture says, God says, I know the thought I have toward you. It is the thought of good and not evil. To do you good all the days of your life and to bring you to the expected end. God have pain inside of his heart when the people he has created in his image are suffering. Either a suffering that come through direct demonic oppression, or a suffering that come because of their mistake and foolishness, or suffering they are having because of fellow human being oppressing them. God is not happy. When he met Moses at the forest of the Midianite, he said unto Moses, I have heard the cry of my people who are in Egypt. I know their sorrow. I know their pains. I know the oppression that the Egyptians are meting out unto them. I can't hold myself any longer, so to say. I have come down to deliver them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me hear better hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It is God's desire to see us happy, enjoying his peace, to see our children happy. So whatever thing that is trying to rob us of that, God is angry with it. Whether they are direct demonic force or not, God is angry with it. So let us know that every case is not demonic case. You know, every case is not demonic case. Case number 3, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Verse 2, everybody. Let's look at this case again. There is no connection of demon. The Bible never said a man with an unclean spirit. But the Bible just told us that there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb. Whatever happened in the womb, the Bible never connected it with demon spirit. Could be that there was a complication. Could be the mother had eaten what is supposed not to eat, so that there was not the proper forming of the baby in the womb, and the baby became crippled right in the womb. And he was born like that. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms for everybody.
And fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter said, look at us.
And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6.
Then Jesus said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Hallelujah. Amen. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse 8. I always like this verse. You know, my mentor, my pastor, when he was ministering here, he said, walking and leaping and praise the Lord. Walking and leaping and praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There was no demonic case connected in this one, but God was not happy that this man should be suffering in this way. And through the power that is given to the believers, they set him free. So our walk is power confrontation in nature. We should prepare ourselves for it. We must not begin to argue about it. There is a demon spirit. There is a satanic attack. 2010, you know, my leg almost went paralyzed. Just one fine day, all of a sudden, this right leg started paining me seriously. I was supposed to be shouting and screaming. We don't know what happened. Just started paining me. And we did everything, went to my doctor, and they look at it, they say, we see nothing. You know, every treatment, they say, we see nothing. It dawned on us that the devil is attacking. And we resorted to prayers. We resorted to prayer. And that's the reason I thank God for this, my wife, because she is the prayer arrowhead in our house. You know, we started prayer morning, evening, afternoon. God, we refuse to accept that I will go lame. We refuse to accept. It is not a prayer of one week, not a prayer of 2 weeks, not a prayer of 1 month, not a prayer of 2 months, 3 months. And one funny thing, anytime I'm going to preach, everything about pain will disappear. I'll be running on the altar preaching, sharing the word of God, and everybody is rejoicing. And apart from my wife and my children, the church did not really know. You see, once I finish preaching, step down from the altar, the whole thing will come again, whip. I'll be feeling the pain, feeling the beat. It seems as though the leg wants to pull out. But you know what, beloved brethren? One Sunday, after 3 months of real prayer battle, calling upon God, God came down. I was just walking up the step after a service with that pain. All of a sudden, I felt as though somebody brought ice water and pour on my leg. I just feel the coldness going down, and it was all over. Up till now, it's still all over. Somebody shout, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, the enemy can attack. No matter how spiritual you are, he can attack you. He can attack you. And that was the reason why Jesus told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. Let's look at that. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. And being assembled together, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. Verse 5, everybody please.
For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Okay, let's hold it. You know, he had told them to go into all the world, preach the gospel, go to Nigeria, go to America, go to Brazil, Russia, you know, every part of the world. But here, he is saying, do not step out from Jerusalem yet. Because the work you are going to be doing for me, the ministry you are going to carry out, is a dangerous ministry. It's a confrontational ministry. It's power encountering ministry. I want to put a dynamite inside of you that will give you the power to deal with the forces out there. And that is how the baptism of the whole issue of the Holy Spirit baptism come about. Some people are still arguing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whether Christians should receive it or whether it ended with the apostles or whatever, all sorts of argument. Jesus told the disciples, don't step out of Jerusalem. You must stay and be endued with power from on high. He now said, and ye shall receive power, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Then are you going to be qualified to become my disciples. Then you can go to all over the world. It is very, very important. It's power confrontation. Another dimension of power confrontation is the power of the kings, the rulers of this world. The powers of the kings and the rulers of this world. Let's take example, Acts chapter 12. Let's look at Acts chapter 12. From verse 1, I read 1, you read 2. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Okay, here was power confrontation with the kings of this earth, the evil rulers of this world. Herod the king decided to stretch out his hand and deal with the church. And he moved out to accomplish his plan. He grabbed James, the brother of our Lord, the brother of John. He was the first person he murdered. He killed without mercy. Verse 3. Shall we read verse 3? All of us, one go. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. And there was 3 days of unleavened bread. 4. When he had apprehended him, put him in prison, delivering him to 4 squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayers was made without ceasing in the church unto God for him. Praise the Lord. Now, whatever happened, the church was sleeping. They went quiet. Maybe they did not believe that there is power there. Encountering or confronting Herod with ease arrested James and slaughtered him in a cold blood. He now moved when he saw that the Jewish leader were happy. He now moved and take on Peter, who was one of the natural leaders of the church. The church said, we are in trouble. Maybe they now come to realize that their ministry involved power encounter, power confrontation. And the Bible said they went to the church and said, God, we will not allow this one. We need our pastor Peter back. Peter had been thrown into the prison. It was a matter of hours, days to go by. He would bring Peter and kill him. The church now started to pray and call upon God. And so, brethren, our ministry is a serious ministry. There is forces of darkness. Sometimes they attack and making somebody mental. Sometimes they attack making somebody sick. Sometimes they can possess a person. Sometimes other strange happening can just hit somebody just like that. Sometimes the rulers of this world can just rise up. Or rulers in communities can just rise up. Look at what is happening in Nigeria. It was not like this before. We have been enjoying relative peace in Nigeria. But things have changed. You know, Things have changed. You are in service. You don't know what is going to happen next. You all have heard the story. Sometimes on a Christmas day, the devil can be so daring with the men that have sold their soul to him. They'll come and lay bomb and just blow everybody. What are we going to do? To fight back? No. No. Jesus said that the battle is not fleshly battle. It's not gun to gun. You know, Peter thought that was the way. You recall? When it was time to pray, he could not pray. He was sleeping. Before he knew it, his master had been captured by the power, the forces that be, the ruler that be. Peter woke up from sleep and drew his knife. He was looking at a whole man, and the only thing he succeeded to achieve was to cut off the ear of somebody. He was looking at a whole man. Instead of him to cut off the head, all he succeeded with a sharp knife, with all his strength, was to cut off just ear. And Jesus told him, this is not something of physical combat. It's power encounter. Put back your knife to where it belongs. If it was something of physical encounter, I would ask my father to give me one legion. They will overrun the world in a split second. It's not physical thing. So the church in Nigeria, we have been praying and calling upon God to do something. And we believe that God is going to do something. Amen. And that's the reason why we are still here. Because God is doing something. So Peter was put in prison. That's another aspect. The church prayed and prayed. And God cannot stand it any longer. He sent an angel to go to the prison. And only God could have done such a thing. The angel went there. Peter was ready to go to heaven. You know, some of us are not ready. You know, sometimes. Peter was sleeping. He was ready. Oh, Lord, into your hand I commend my spirit. He was ready, sleeping. But the angel came and touched him and said, Peter, get up. He had brought his clothes, his shoes, and said, Peter, come on. Dress up yourself. Put on your shoes. You know what, brethren? When God tells you to put your shoe, one thing is certain, you are going somewhere. Yes. Praise God. And so Peter put on his shoes. The angel said, follow me. And he followed. Peter was miraculously delivered. But that reveals something to us. When he got to the church, it seemed that the church was not even believing that God was going to do something. Sometimes we pray, we don't even believe our prayers that something is going to happen. You know, they were praying, God, we need our pastor. God, we need our pastor. God has already delivered the pastor. And the pastor came. Everybody was praying, you know. Nobody was keeping quiet. They were all serious, calling upon God. But they were all serious, not believing God. One little girl, I think Rhoda, ran to the distance because all these small children, they know the voice of the pastor. Say, yes, who is it? He said, it's me. Rhoda ran and went to the mother and said, Mama, Peter, pastor. The mother said, close your mouth. I hope something's not wrong with your head. You know? It may be his spirit, if anything at all. But Peter continued knocking. And then they went and opened. Everybody shouted. So, let me stop here so that we pray. The first prayer we are going to pray is that, like Reverend Dennis was saying, which I don't believe with him, I think I have the liberty to believe with him and to disagree with him. You know, he was saying that it's not for everybody. Well, I know the dimension he was talking about. God's desire is that every child of God be empowered. That is the desire of God. That's the vision of God. You say, how do I know it, Brother Uche, Gabriel? I know it because when the Lord brought Ezekiel, to the valley of dry bone, he asked him, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, God, only you alone know whether they can live. He said, prophesy to the four winds, let them come. And he prophesied, all the dry bones that were in that valley, there was no single one left. They all stood up. He prophesied, the Spirit of God entered into all of them. And the Bible said that they stood like a great army. Every member in the church, it is God's desire that the person be empowered for this power encounter. Every member, every member. If you exclude yourself, that is your business. But the day that the devil will embarrass you, you'll be shocked. You know, because the devil is no respecter of anybody. Jesus told us that the devil is a strong man. He said that when a strong man armed, gathered his property, his belonging, everything he has is intact. But when a stronger than him will come up against him and bind him before you can destroy whatever he has. The devil is a strong man. He lays claim over the entire universe. He lays claim over battle. He lays claim over your children. He lays claim over your business. That was what he told Jesus Christ, our Lord, when he demanded from Jesus. Can you imagine such impunity? For the devil to say to the Son of God, bow before me. Just bow and worship me. And I'm going to give you the whole world. It is mine. Can you imagine such impunity? And Jesus had to cut him to size by telling him where he belonged. Say, get behind me, Satan. So that is what it does. There is demonic forces. I don't want to tell you about a mere very typical example. God had told Israel, you are going to stay in Babylon for 70 years. After 70 years, I will bring you back into your land. But they were in captivity in Babylon. 70 years come and gone, nothing happened, every place was quiet. Daniel took it up and met God in prayer and said, dear Lord, this is what you said. Why are we still here in bondage? Why are we still suffering here? And God now opened the eyes of Daniel, told him what happened. The angel said to Daniel, when I was coming to bring you the message, the very first day you set your heart to seek me, I was withstood by the prince of Persia. There was a demonic force that was holding sway over the Persian Empire. And that was the reason why Israel was still there in captivity. And so, Michael the archangel was ordered by God to come and fight the battle. And then the way was paved for Daniel to come to bring, I mean for Gabriel to come to bring the message to Daniel. So, dearly beloved brothers and sisters, that is the nature of our work. Sometimes the enemy can even attack business. It can attack business. It can attack a church. All of a sudden, a church that had been very peaceful, unitedly serving the Lord, all of a sudden, what you see is problem here and there. Sometimes you come into a family. Husband and wife have been living together, enjoying one another. All of a sudden, trouble, argument. Sometimes it can even result to physical fight. You begin to ask yourself, what is going on? The evil one has come to sow a seed. The disciple asked Jesus, did we not sow good seed in the farm? Now they are tasked. What happened? Jesus said, an enemy has done this. So when we see issues like that rising up, we have got to stand up and take authority against the forces of darkness and rebuke the enemy. And then we are going to see the hand of God giving us deliverance. So, demonic forces, evil spirits, they are real. They are there to cause confusion. But when we take our ground and stand up against them and resist them like Jesus said, they are going to run away from us. And we'll have the liberty, the freedom to carry on with the work of the Lord. May the Lord bless us, what our heart in Jesus' name. So first and foremost, We are going to pray. I want us to stand up together as a church, you know, and pray and ask the Lord, God, visit me, beginning from me. Somebody said, when you are praying for revival, if you want revival, draw a circle and step into that circle and say, God, bring the revival here. We are going to pray together and say, God, breathe upon me afresh. Breathe upon me afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit so that I'll be able to go and serve you and confront whatever forces of darkness that want to stand against my life, that want to stand against the life of my family, that want to stand against the life of my church, my children. I want to be the person that you want me to be. We are going to pray and say, God, pour out your spirit afresh upon Battle Baptist Church, so that every member that God brings to this church will not be a Sidon looker, will not be like an abandoned property, but rather will be involved in the ministry.